is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The 20th Party Congress of the Chinese Communist Party, within weeks, in October, coming together every 5 years to nominate, to elect members of the Central Committee, 25, members of the Standing Committee, 7, and to endorse or elect or choose a general secretary for the next 5 years. And this year, notable in that Xi Jinping, who has been the general secretary for 2 terms, is now continuing to press his case to be an unprecedented third term. But there are other things about the Party Congress that are gripping to learn. It's non-transparent. We look at it from the outside, but there are ceremonies here that have been obeyed in the past. And I follow the reporting by Victoria Hetzig of Geopolitical Futures. She is in Hungary. She is in Budapest, writing about the Chinese Communist Party's anticipation of nominations, of elevations, and of factions. Victoria, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. The 20th Party Congress, I've heard the drumbeat all year long. Here it is upon us. And you write that it is wrong to think of Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party as one flavor, one hue. There are factions within it. And you note that those factions are now the same as an opposition outside of China, an opposition to Xi Jinping's 10 years and continuing if as we believe, he is successful in choosing a third term. These factions, how do they show themselves? Do they have names? How are they organized? Good evening to you, Victoria.
Good evening to you, too. I'm really glad to be here. So, yes, there is definitely an opposition faction. So opposition on paper is not a new thing in China because so on paper, there are minor democratic parties existing in China's political system. But those parties operate under the Chinese Communist Party and they don't really have a say in major political things. This new opposition is not that. This is a very different thing. So it doesn't have a name. It's not a party. It's just a faction led by prominent politicians, two vice premiers, Han Zheng and Hu Chunhua. And they don't disagree with minor things. They disagree with the way Xi wants to lead the country and wants to boost China's GDP.
All right.
So basically what he is doing, they are disagreeing with that.
We will come to Vice Premier Han and Vice Premier Hu in a moment, but we begin with a trail signs. We're following a path that has been trod before. And what isn't here that you would ordinarily understood? Victoria, you report there are no pre-appointments. Nobody has been named before the Congress meets. What's the significance of that?
So usually we get to hear prominent officials being reelected, kept in place, or new officials emerging and about the possibility of them being elected as ministers, vice premiers, so very, very important positions. Generally, before the National Congress, there are news about these things. It's not official, but this is usually a signal of things going in an ordinary, normal way before the Congress. And these appointments generally do happen at the Congress. So now we are not hearing anything like that. We are not hearing about ministers keeping their places or new ministers, vice premiers emerging. So there is a peculiar silence about this. And this really signals not everything being completely ordinary before the Congress. This signals Xi and his leadership not being as stable, as solid, as strong as it used to be, for example, before the previous National Congress 5 years ago.
There are disruptions in the serenity of the Chinese Communist Party's miracle. And the disruptions I've learned, Victoria, over these last years of reporting have to do with money, which is understandable. It has to do with money. So I follow the money here in the United States as well. I'm sure it works the same in Europe. But the money is in doubt now because of the real estate bubble, because of the COVID interruption of the supply chain, because of the shortage of electricity over these last year months of drought, and because of disorder in general, protests even about mortgages being paid for unbuilt or unfinished apartments, the collapse of Evergrande. Is all that background talked about before this party Congress? Is that noise everywhere? We can't name what it represents. We can say it's unusual. Would that be an explanation for why no pre-appointments because of turmoil?
Absolutely, yes. So there are protests everywhere. There is general dissatisfaction in Chinese society. It is also an unusual thing that we are hearing about this. So government censorship usually works perfectly, and we don't get to hear about, for example, a protest taking place, a protest similar to the one that took place back in July in Henan, the province of Henan. So there is turmoil everywhere, and these are the voices of disillusioned people, and those disillusioned people are very likely to side with the opposition that has recently emerged.
Well, I tell a story that I learned over these last months about a man who had some sizable amount of money in a bank, a small bank, and he was on his way to the bank. I think it was more than $800,000. I misremember. It might be yuan. But in any event, it was a fortune. And as he reached the city where he was going to confront the bank managers who had not let him withdraw his money, he noticed his smartphone turned to red, meaning he had to immediately report to a holding area where people with COVID or exposed to COVID have to stay. His opinion in this report was that was a political use of the pandemic prevention system. Is that anecdote familiar to you? Have you heard this elsewhere, that the COVID suddenly became politicized because of the collapse of the property values and people's doubts about their fortunes?
Yes, this is a fairly common thing nowadays. So these health codes are being used by the central government to stop people from protesting or even stop people from, for example, wanting to take out their money when there is no possibility of taking out their money due to banking issues. So yes, COVID is very much politicized in this sense, and this is a tool that has worked almost always for the central government. This yes. health code method.
Yes, I come to now the payoff here. Factions, John. What factions? Victoria has actually identified the factions into two parts. The first part, the well-to-do part of the country, are the coastal cities where manufacturing and trade has prospered. That is the Chinese miracle. Victoria, you name Shenzhen, Chengdu, and Dalian. You also mentioned Shanghai. Those are all manufacturing centers with great wealth concentrated. Have they been, are they now believing that the health code has been used against them, that the zero COVID, do they talk about how it's been used to contain their protests?
So very strict measures, restrictive measures have been placed on these cities. I don't know if health codes are actually used in these cities with a political reasoning behind it, but it is very true that the restrictions are very unreasonable. To tell you an example, a very important financial forum was cancelled in Shanghai because authorities found one asymptomatic case of COVID. And similar things are happening in the other large tech and industrial hubs you just mentioned. So these are perfect examples of COVID being politicized and the real reason not being the virus itself and the danger that poses.
I learned from Victoria, it turns out this has an ideological explanation. There are two visions of the future in the People's Republic of China. Xi Jinping's vision is common prosperity. That's the slogan. Must sound more convincing in Mandarin. I say it in English. The vision of the coastal cities is wealth and trade and foreign investment and globalization. That's the vision. And right now, those two stories are battling. That might be an explanation for the anxiety about this party Congress. Which side does Xi take, and what does he say about the opposition? Does he indicate that does he acknowledge the opposition?
He hasn't actually acknowledged the opposition openly, which is very interesting. We can expect him addressing it before the Congress. That would be an indication of him feeling confident, or at least wanting to present himself as confident and putting himself above the opposition. So she is the one who proposes this common prosperity slogan. So his main goal is to base China's growth and to boost China's GDP via consumption and via developing the central and western regions of the country that have historically always been poorer and less developed. So that is the program he favors, and that is done via wealth redistribution, which means taking large amounts of money away from the wealthy coastal region and putting that into the development of central and western region.
She commands the military. She commands the state media. She commands the central banks. She commands the globalization of the industries associated with the state, not private enterprise, the state. He has all his power. And yet, when we come back, the opposition, and what does it want? Victoria Hetzig, geopolitical futures analyst, writing about anticipation of the 20th Party Congress. I'm John Batchelor.